because they are so nice, they are so kind, they go to church every week, they serve in the church, they are also a part of the leadership in the church, they are decent, they are kind, they are sincere in their beliefs, they could definitely not be a sinner. So therefore, they claim that the gospel is not for them. So the gospel of Christ is for sinners, but not for me. All of us are sinners. And even of those of us who are believers, we are sinners saved by grace. All of us are sinners. But there is this problem that people believe that once I am not a thief, once I am not a murderer, once I am not a robber, then I am not a sinner. No, that is a false thing. All of us are sinners. Turn your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be reading from verse 1 through to verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 5.
And he had quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin.
Stop a second. And you, God, has made alive who were dead, but listen to the words used, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, trespass means that you have gone over what you are entitled to go into. Am I correct, Fabian? You have trespassed on somebody else's land. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. So you have trespassed. You have gone where you are not supposed to go. But when you know that you are trespassing, you have to have some guideline or some rule. For example, when a person is purchasing a property, they need to do what they call a survey ID report. It's a favorite daddy to say, he knows all about that. Because you have to know the boundary of your property. Everybody understand? You have to know what are the boundary of your property so that you don't trespass. I've heard a case of, in America, I don't know, probably something in Jamaica too, a case where a person did not do a survey ID report, and they built this expensive house on their neighbor's land. So they trespass. So that is why you have to have a guideline or something to tell you that you are trespassing. You know what helps us to know that we are trespassing? God's word. God's word helps us to know when we are trespassing. And all of us have trespassed. We are dead in trespasses and sins. What does it go on to say, Brother O'Shea?
Wherein, in time past, ye walk according to the course of this world.
Stop. According to the course of this world. Paul was addressing those who were Christian, those who had obeyed. But those who are not Christians, even though you're kind, even though you're nice, even though you're religious, if you're walking according to the course of this world and not according to the scriptures, not according to the word, you have trespassed. Sometimes you might not even know when you are trespassing because the doctrine that you are following, you don't even know when you are trespassing. You don't even know that you have trespassed. And that's a problem. So when you think you are kind and nice and you are not following the word, you are walking according to the course of this world, you have trespassed. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh what, O'Shea?
In the children of disobedience.
In the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in the past, in the lust of our flesh. Now, Fabian likes to talk about the colon, right, Fabian? And there is a colon there. Because after it says, children of disobedience, then there's a colon to tell you who these children of disobedience are. You say, among whom also we had our conversation in time past. They follow the lust of their flesh. Yeah. They don't follow the scriptures, you know. They follow the lust of their flesh and of the mind. So your priest say, the Bible said it, but I don't think so. I don't think God would want that. That is their following their mind, Sister Andrea. No, Once you have started doing that, you have trespassed. Am I right, church? Am I right, Brother Norman? Yes, you have trespassed. Once you start to follow your own mind, because your own mind can't give you righteousness in an earl. Your own mind cannot give you righteousness. So once you follow your mind, you are described as what now, Brother O'Shea?
And we're by nature the children of wrath.
The children of wrath are those who have trespassed. We have trespassed, even as others. So this is a universal thing, you know. Anybody who does not obey the word of God, who doesn't follow the word of God. Brother Brown this morning talked about following. Remember he spoke about that this morning? Those who don't follow the word of God, you are tending to trespass. Because you don't know right from wrong. You are following your own mind. You are tending to trespass. Even although you are nice and kind and good, you know, even although you pray a lot, even although you are religious, if you don't follow the scriptures, you tend to trespass. Okay? But look at verse 4 now. It says, but God, we always like to talk about the but God. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy for his great love, where he loved us. Verse 5. What verse 5 says, Brother Osei?
Even when we were dead in sin.
Even when we were dead in sin. So when you're not in Christ, you are described as being what? Dead in sin. Yeah. You need to wake up. You need to be made alive. But the only person who can make us alive is Christ.
Yes.
Only person who can make us alive is Christ. What quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you what?
Saved.
Not by your good works. Yes. Not by your niceness. Not by your kindness. Yes. Not by your religiousness. Yes. But you are saved by grace. No. Brother Bean, is it disobedience? What's saying? Disobedience in essence, you know, is unbelief, you know. It's unbelief. Unbelief in God and belief in Christ. Turn your Bibles. Everybody turn your Bibles to this passage for me. John chapter 16, verse 8 to 9. Unbelief is sin, you know. The very fact that you do not believe is sin by itself. John 16, 8 to 9. What does it say, Oshane, or anybody who has it?
And when he is come.
When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, the Comforter.
He will reprove the world of sin.
He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of sin and of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness and of
judgment.
Three things he's going to deal with. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. What did he say about sin in verse 9?
Of sin because they believe not on me.
Of sin because they kill somebody. You say that? Of sin because they steal. You say that?
No.
Of sin because what? They believe not on me. The mere fact of the unbelief is sin, you know. So even if you are kind, even if you are nice, even if you are sincere, you go to church every day, but you don't believe in the teachings of Christ, in the doctrine of Christ, you have sinned. You have sinned. So remember now, we have to ensure that we are following the scriptures, following the word of God, because disobedience in essence is unbelief. And it's a rebellion against God, you know. It abuses truth. I said this last week and I'm saying it again. It abuses truth through deception and self-deception. It twists God's truth away from God's purpose and towards his own. God has a purpose for everything he asks us to do, you know, Earl. God has a purpose in his will. He has a purpose for everything that he does. He has a purpose for the church. He has a purpose of having one church. He has a purpose for everything. He has a purpose in baptism. Amen. He has a purpose for everything that he does. But when you twist doctrine now to suit your own self, you are you are telling yourself you're bigger than God. You're rebelling against God the way Satan did. This unbelief in the teachings of Christ, no matter what you claim, if you even claim that you go to church every day, you're the nicest person, the kindest person, the best person, you are in unbelief. Once you don't believe in the teachings, you are in unbelief. And unbelief is sin. No. How are we going to protect ourselves now, Sister Allison? Or as Christians, as people who want to be saved, how are we going to ensure that we are on the right track? How are we going to ensure compliance with the gospel of Christ? We know the Bible tells us, and we have seen it before, that we must believe. But how are we going to ensure that? We know that we must do the will of God. There's a passage for that. Turn to Matthew 7:21 for me, Oshay. Quickly. We know that we must do the will of God. Not everyone that says what? Unto me, Lord. Continue for me, Oshay.
Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
But he that doeth the will. So there is something that you do. You do the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
But even here, people get themselves confused.
Yeah.
Because they are saying to themselves, oh, I can know the will. God talked to me last night. And that is his will. Right, what, Fabian? Yeah, man, I get a dream and I get a vision. That's how God talked to me. Mm-hmm. And you show them something in the written word. They say, no, I see it here, but God tell me this. God tell me this. It's written here, you know. But they say, God tell me this. Because, and therefore, you can't tell me that I'm not doing the will of God because God spoke to me in person. That's what they'll say to us, you know. God spoke to me. So you can't tell me. We can only know God's mind. We can only know God's will. Listen carefully to what I'm saying here. We can only know God's mind. We can only know God's will to the extent that he has revealed it in his word. That's the only way we can know it, you know, Brother Bean. The only way we can only know God's mind. We can only know God's will to the extent that he has revealed it in his word. That's how we know God's will.
Right.
So you went to bed last night. You had a dream. You call it a vision. God tell me this. God tell me that. And when I confront you with the scripture, what God quote unquote revealed to you last night is not found here. What do you think I must follow? Who do you think I must follow? I have to follow the word.
Amen.
Because we can only know God's mind, God's will, in his revealed word. And this is a passage that Brother Peart raised in Wednesday night Bible study. Very good passage, Brother Peart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I won't read the entire passage. But a part of it says that we might learn in him not to even think of men above that which is what? Written. We can't go beyond the boundary. We can't. That's the only way we can know for sure. Human beings are something else, you know, Fabia. You're a complex body, you know. even in secular world, dealing with people, you know, they're complex. People, I'm in real estate, as some of you know, and people call me, Mr. Gilbert, I'm looking for a house for 20 years. I say, you're looking for a house for 20 years? You say, yes. I'm looking for a house for 20 years. I say to them, Fabia, do you have a pre-qualification letter? Simple, you know. Do you have a pre-qualification letter from National Housing Trust or a mortgage company? No, you know. And you're looking for a house for 20 years. There are certain things you have to follow. There are certain rules you have to follow. And God behaved the same way. He gave us certain things that we have to follow.
Am I correct? If you want salvation, you get into Christ. You want the house, make the first step and get the pre-qualification letter. Because I'm not going to deal with you without the pre-qualification letter. It comes first. So God's not going to deal with you unless you follow his will. In the written word, we can't even think about that which is. Can't even think about that. Get the gravity, you know. Not even the thought. Much less to proclaim it. Much less to proclaim it. We can't even think about what is written. About what is written. No. Let us move on. Romans chapter 10. Turn to it for me, Oshane. Verse 6. Everybody turn to it for me. Romans chapter 10. Verse 16 and 17. It's not my normal style to have so many passages, but this lesson requires more a lot of passages. Romans 10, 16 to 17. What does it say, Oshane?
But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
So we have some people here that they have not all did what? Obey the gospel. Remember, the first step is to obey the gospel. If you want to be saved. Am I right, Fabian? You want a house for 20 years, get a pre-qualification letter. You want to be saved, obey Christ. Am I right, Brother Pete? Obey Christ. Obey the gospel. Look, continue for me now.
For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believe or report?
Stop a second. You see what the belief is important? You see it, Fabian? Who had believed our report? The belief is important, you know.
Amen.
That's why I say, not having belief in Christ is sinful. Who had believed our report? Continue.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You sure that's what it says, Oshane? You sure it says faith come by hearing, and hearing by my own opinion? Did it say that?
No.
By how I look on things? Did it say that?
No.
By my judgment, did it say that?
No.
So they don't load it. It did not. How does the faith come, Brother Oshane, from this scripture? How does the faith come?
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You can't go beyond the word of God. The vision and the dream that you're thinking you're having, and once it's completely opposite to this, we can't go beyond the word of God.
Amen.
We can't go beyond our own opinion as to how we think things should be. We can't go by the teaching of the person who founded your denomination. Sometimes they make a mistake when they misinterpret scripture and find that found a denomination. You can't go by that. You have to go by the word of God if you want to be saved. You can't go by your own kindness, by your own compassionateness, if it's such a word. You can't go by your own righteousness, religiousness. You can't go by that. You have to go by the word of God. You have to. So the gospel is for sinners, and all sinners have trespassed. All sinners have trespassed. And you know the consequence of trespass. You go over where you don't belong. You go somewhere where you don't belong, Karen. That's when you trespass. And the person can take action against you because you have trespassed on their property. How you guys know that you trespass? They have set up a boundary.
Yes.
There's a boundary there. How you know when you trespass? You go to the word of God. You don't know you trespass. You can't depend on your kindness, you know, and your religiousness to know that you have not trespassed or not. You have to go to the word of God. Amen. To see that you have trespassed or that you have not trespassed. It keeps us away from sin. So, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what?
Word of God.
Let's look at some case study now. We soon end up. Let's look at some case study of people in the scripture, in the Bible, who still needed the gospel. We're going to look at some people, and by the face of it, you would say, boy, this person don't need the gospel. But they needed the gospel because they have trespassed. They have trespassed, you know, Fabian. No matter what they think they have done, No matter the niceness that they have done, the good they have done, they have trespassed. So you can't look at the superficial stuff. You have to go a little deeper. What does Romans 10, 1 to 3 say, O'Shane Cunningham? Romans 10, verse 1 to 3.
Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
I love how you read that. I love how you read it a while ago. I like how you stress the might. You read it beautifully. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They haven't complied yet, you know. So that's why I said they might be saved.
Amen.
Continue. For I bear them record.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
Stop here, sir. This zeal now is something that catch us in now. We can't look on zeal and determine whether the person is a Christian or not. Zeal does not tell us much.
Amen.
You have a lot of denominational people and they have a lot of zeal. You say the Adventist people have a lot of zeal and they've done a lot of good things. They've started schools, you know. They have schools, they have hospitals, you know. They've done a lot of good things. And we acknowledge the good things that they have done. Can I say it's not bad things? It's not bad things. They have done good things. But are they saved? That's the problem. That's all good things. A lot of the schools that we have now, you know, Brother Bean, that we call, we call those first level schools. Everybody wants to go to those schools. Traditional high schools. Those are schools that were started by churches. You know, good things. Good things. You have the Salvation Army, and they have things for the blind and manage it well, I believe. And it, for Christmas, they do. And they do good things. Good things. But you can't, that is not what you look at. And sometimes we get, as Christians, we get confused by that.
No.
We cannot mistake zeal for the knowledge of God's word. Because that's the only way you'll know if you have trespassed or not trespassed. How you guys know you trespass or not trespass? You can't look on zeal to determine, Sister Andrea. Can't. It's impossible. So Paul says, they have he acknowledge, you know, that they have a zeal of God. He acknowledged that they have this zeal of God. But what does he go on to say?
But not according to knowledge.
You hear the but? But is a contrast. But is a contrast. They have a zeal of God, but it is not according to what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. They have not complied. And as I say, you my bees, we are so complex. We want this, we want that. But we still don't do the thing to comply to get it. We are complicated people, you know. Every day. If you ever, I'm sure you have made complicated people, you know. You know the next thing that always baffles me? Anybody, I don't think anybody have an ID. I don't have my ID with me. But you know, you have an ID and you have your picture taken on your ID, Brother Pierce. Listen to me carefully now. And probably some of us have been guilty of it too. And the ID expire. Listen to me. The ID expire. Today's what date? 3rd of September. The ID expire on the 1st of September. And you go somewhere to do business, and you give them the ID, and they say they can't. You get vexed with them, you know? Should we get upset with them? They say they can't accept the ID, Brother Pierce, Brother B. They can't take the ID from, because the ID expire. You turn to them, but you see my face upon the ID. You don't see my face upon it. You don't see my signature upon the ID. We don't take the ID, sir. And a big drama. Big drama. And then you get upset. They are not wrong. Because the rules have been set out. Am I right, Fabian?
Yeah.
I'm right. But the rules have been set out. And the people make a big drama over it, you know. Here's my ID. I'm a picture upon it. I'm a fierce. You know, see my fierce upon it. You know, see my signature? One person slammed down the phone at me one time. Because I asked for the ID. Because I need the ID for our type of business, too. And they say, no. The next thing they ask you, the eligibility letter, and it expires. But it just expired, Mr. Gilbert, we are telling me, say. It just expired last week. And sometimes them slam down phone on you and I got somebody else going to my business. But it's what I have to do. What I'm told, if it expires, it expires. Am I right, Brother Bean? Yes, it expires. So it's us. We can't follow zeal. It has to be according to what? Knowledge. It has to be according to knowledge. People turn to you. You mean water baptism? We know the water. Once you take Christ in your heart, that is it. We don't need to baptize. We accept Christ and tell him to come into my heart. See the same type of thinking, you see? The same type of disregard for certain, you see? Human beings, we are so complex. And Paul is saying now, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's what?
Righteousness.
Have not what? Submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. When you're ignorant of certain things, you don't want to submit yourself to certain things. Even in the secular world. And the same thing in Christianity. And it have more dire consequences in Christianity. They've been ignorant. So once you are ignorant of God's righteousness, you know, you have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. You have created your own what? Righteousness. Can that save you? Are you still dead?
Yes.
Are you still in your sin?
Yes.
You have not been made alive yet. Am I correct? No. Because you have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. Let us contrast Romans 10, Brother Hussein, turn to Hebrews 5, 9 for me. Let us contrast Romans 10, 1 to 3, with the people who want to hold on to their own righteousness, as against people now who just obey. So you can see a big difference. What Hebrews 5, 9 says, Hussein?
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
And being made perfect, he, the Christ, became the author of eternal salvation. Not unto some, you know, but unto all people who would obey him.
Amen.
If the murderer obey him, the murderer will get eternal salvation. If the rapist obey him, the rapist is going to get eternal salvation. And Christian, we have to start to realize that the word of God is powerful, you know. And one day, we might have somebody come into our audience, you know, who is a well-known criminal. Not any gimmicky this time. And he really responds and gives his life to Christ. He has eternal salvation, you know. Can you believe that? He has eternal salvation, you know. The rapist, the criminal. Think of the worst criminal you can think of. Once he obeys, he has eternal salvation. And if you're a nice, kind person, you need eternal salvation just the same. If you're a nice, kind, religious person, you still need eternal salvation. And those people now, these people, you see a difference with these people now, you know, Oshane. They did not just have zeal. Did they have, it don't show that they have zeal. They don't follow their own what? Righteousness. Their aim was to obey Christ. Do you see the difference? They obey Christ. And when they obey Christ, Paul could say easily that they have obtained eternal salvation. In the first one, he said they might be saved. But in this one, he clearly says they have eternal salvation. Do you see that? Yes. Let's now look at some case studies. Let's look at the first one. I just have two of them. You have many of them in the Bible. I have two of them to want to talk with you today about. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. Read that for me, please, O'Shane. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. What does it say?
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under the Candace queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had came to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
All right, stop right here. Now, we're going to look at some of the characteristics of this man. We are going to pretend like we're teaching somebody, right? Because this is one of the lessons that we have. Myself and Matthew and Brother Michelle work on a set of lessons, you know. Some long time ago, and I think Brother Michelle might be leaving some of these lessons also in Wednesday night Bible study. So we're going to ask the person who's the religious person, but appeared, very sincere person, go to church every day. Let's look at verse 28, and then we're going to ask him a question. Read 28 for me.
Was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet.
Stop. Was he a sincere reader of the Bible? Was this man a sincere reader of scriptures, Fabian? Fabian nodded me that say yes. Yes. He was a sincere reader of scriptures. But is he still a sinner? Needing the gospel? Let's look at another question. Look at verse 27 for me, Brother O'Shane Cunningham.
And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship.
Stop. Was he a member of a religious group? From this verse, you can tell. Can you say he was coming from what? Was he coming from a party? He was coming from Jerusalem for to what? To worship. So he wasn't coming from a party. He wasn't coming from holding up a bank. He was coming from worship. But did he need Christ?
Yes.
Did he need the gospel?
Amen.
Was he a sinner?
Yes.
Did he trespass?
Yeah. Yes.
So shall I use that word trespass? It's a very interesting word in Ephesians. It brings it home very clearly. Now, let's look at this man again. Look at verse 36 to 37. Oh, no. Look at verse. So we can see that he was a member of a church. We can see. Was he worshiping Satan?
Yeah.
Was he worshiping Satan, was he?
Yes.
No.
Well, no.
Who he was worshiping, Fabian? He was worshiping the true God, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was worshiping God. That's like, well, you might be worshiping God today, but you still might be having some flaw. So he still was a sinner. He still needed the gospel. And that is why the preacher was sent to him.
Yeah.
Do you see that? The preacher was sent to him. Remember, pay in mind. When you have a problem, you are sent to a certain professional to sort out that problem. Am I right, Michael? If he was just never have no problem, would he have needed a preacher? He needed a preacher to show that he was still in sin. So he needed a preacher. Let's look at another case. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 2. Read it for me, Oshin. Acts 10, verse 1 to 2.
there was a certain man in Caesarea called
yes.
Cornelius.
Yes.
A centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Mm-hmm.
A devout man and one that feared God with all his house,
mm-hmm.
which gave much alms to the people
mm-hmm.
and prayed to God always.
Stop now. So let us look at this man. We don't call him a Christian man, you know. You know, when he is always said, boy, this man must be a Christian man. Let us look at verse 2 again, Brother Ashin.
A devout man
mm-hmm.
and one that feared God with all his house,
mm-hmm.
which gave much alms to the people
mm-hmm.
and prayed to God always.
We're going to ask some questions now to the person you are teaching. Sir, madam, was this man deeply and sincerely religious? Yes or no? Yes. Was he a God-fearing worshiper?
Yes.
Yes. Worshiper, you know? Was he a kind and good man?
Yes.
Yes. Was he a praying man?
Yes.
Yes. Was he a just, God-fearing man? Verse 22 says that. Uh-huh. Yes. Was he a Christian? You sure, Brother B? Look here now. Look at all the quality. Look at all this credentials, Brother B. Maybe I'm a mark here, Brother B. I'm a mark here, you know. So careful. Was he deeply and sincerely religious?
Yes.
Was he a God-fearing worshiper?
Yes.
Was he a kind and good man?
Yes.
Was he a praying man?
Yes.
Was he a just God-fearing man?
Yes.
He must be a Christian. Was he a Christian?
No.
Oh, you know now. Remember, you know, a preacher was sent to him.
Yeah.
Showing that there is need. A preacher was sent to him. He still was in darkness. He still was preached for the dead. He was not quickened as yet. He was not a Christian. The gospel was for him.
Yeah.
Hmm. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We can end this one, end it right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Read that passage for me, please, Oshie. Don't miss Wednesday night Bible study, because this is a Wednesday night Bible study is going to be a continuation of what we have been doing tonight. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:30. What does it say?
We, having the same spirit of faith,
mm-hmm.
according as it is written,
mm-hmm.
I believed,
mm-hmm.
and therefore have I spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We also believe,
mm-hmm.
and therefore speak.
All right. I'm going to put you some wrong things in there. You must correct me now, Brother O'Shea, if I am wrong, right? You listening to me now? We, having the same spirit of faith,
yes.
according to our viewpoint.
No.
Did you say that?
No.
According to our perspective. Some people like to use big word now, but that's perspective.
No.
Did you say that? According to the vision I get last night.
No.
The dream I get last night.
No.
God spoke to me in person.
No.
You see? You want anything more than that? According as it is written. No, the way it is written now, you believe.
Yeah.
You see, Fabian? As it is written, I believed.
Man.
And then you open your mouth and can talk. Am I right? It's only when it's written, you know. And you believe, you know. You can't open your mouth and talk, you know. But you have a lot of people now going about, opening their mouth, talking. God spoke to them, and they can't show it is written here. Do you see that? It's a spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed. Remember, unbelief is sin. So you believe on what is written, and then you can talk. And therefore, have I spoken? You see it, Fabian? Yes. We also believe and therefore speak.
You can't talk until you believe. You can't talk any or anything. That's why the Bible talks about the tongue, you know, for teachers. You can't talk any and anything. You talk, you believe what is written, and then you can talk. Believe what is written, then you talk. You can't just talk anything that comes to your mouth. And there's a lot of that going on in churches, in denominations, around pulpits. People just talk. Sometimes when I'm getting ready for church on Sunday morning time, you have to turn on the radio, Audrey. They're talking all kinds of things. And when they was tired, they talk, you know, Sister Andrea, they talk, and there's just drama. You see, they talk and they gap them breath. But they just talk. Talking cannot give you salvation. You hear, believe, and then you can talk. And you talk as what is written.
Yep.
You can't go beyond what is written.
Amen.
Don't miss Wednesday night. Brother Michael, you can come.